Good evening, St. Michael's. If you're in the church, please be seated. Someone many years ago asked me if I were to give a TED talk, what I would give a TED talk about. And at the time, I didn't have to give it much thought. I said, that's easy. If I was going to give a TED talk, I would say my topic would be a little morbidity is good for your marriage. I think about human relationships a lot, and I'm well aware of the little resentments that build up and harden over the course of a relationship. So I've always lightheartedly thought to myself, come on, Julie, if Jeremy died, all those little things would suddenly just seem so unimportant. Perhaps it's a little extreme, but at the end of the day, it is a helpful way to kind of put it all into perspective. A little morbidity is good for your marriage. And while I still stand by it, I held on to that self-claimed wisdom long before I experienced significant loss and grief of my own. And now, after a few deep personal losses, deaths that were deeply tragic and unfair and way too soon, that feel as fresh and raw today as they did years ago, the idea of my spouse's death is less and less a thought experiment and more a real possibility. It's frighteningly easy to imagine now. And quite honestly, I have not gone to my own TED talk in years because the thought of Jeremy's death is too painful to bear. Many of you have lived through unthinkable grief. If you haven't, don't worry, one day you will. Someone you love deeply, who you can't imagine life without, a parent, a sibling, a child, a friend, will die. You'll have days where the grief will be so heavy you won't be able to breathe. You'll step outside your door and you'll see a child whiz by on a scooter and a young couple walking their dog and a gaggle of middle school students laughing wildly together. And you'll wonder how the rest of the world could go on when yours has ended. None of us wants to face or embrace that kind of loss voluntarily. And quite honestly, we have gotten very good as a Western society at avoiding any talk about death. We don't even use the word died anymore. People get offended if you say that word out loud in front of them. We now say that someone has passed away or passed on. It's like the muggle version of the word Voldemort, that which must not be named. In the Christian church, death is seen as a consequence of sin. The wages of sin is death, as St. Paul says. The idea is like the ultimate punishment that is that life will one day end. But punishment for whom? The church's Lenten message has long focused on the individual. Your sinfulness has resulted in your death. So repent and be restored to newness of life. And that has translated into Lenten practices and disciplines aimed at self-denial and deprivation, fasting, repentance, self-flagellation, mea culpa, physical hunger to remind us of the spiritual hunger that we easily overlook, which is supposed to somehow send me running into God's arms, a tearful and happy reunion, God overjoyed at my penitent, albeit somewhat grumbly tummy return. Somehow I'm supposed to find faith in a loving God through the practice of hating myself. But the prophet Isaiah has something else to say about all of this entirely. Isaiah tells us in no uncertain terms that God is not interested in outward signs of piety. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? well, you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, cover them, and to not hide yourself from your own kin. Y'all, there is nothing that you or I could individually fast on that would come close to loosing the bonds of injustice or letting the oppressed go free. No amount of abstinence from chocolate or steak will bring about plentiful housing for the homeless poor. No singular purchase from a sustainable clothing company will cover the world's naked. If we focus on individual sin and we forget about corporate sin and take all the double entendre from the word corporate that you want, we have got this whole Lent thing wrong. If we think that death is a punishment for the person who has died and not the people who are left behind grieving, we devalue the depth of our own capacity for love. And if we avoid thinking about death at all, if we do not account for its painful reality, we'll forget the sacredness of the lives around us, not just our lives, all lives. So in the end, maybe a little morbidity is good, not just for your marriage, but for our faith, not just for ourselves, but for our community and for the world. Today, we begin the season where we face and confront the things that we would much rather avoid. Death is at the top of that list. It is the most disarming of all. So that is where we start, in ashes and dirt, in the remnants of what used to be alive. My favorite poem says, "Did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? This is the day we are marked for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which the world is made." Amen.